Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to my friend, my brother over there on the other side of the world, Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, stand up and say hi. And show us your t-shirt.
Hi, everybody.
And for those of you who are watching on the YouTube video, I have my I Love to Expose Scumbaggery t-shirt on.
And for those of you who don't know what scumbaggery is, it's the attitudes, actions, and portents of a scumbag. And so if you are known to engage in scumbaggery, there are people like, Barack Obama, who's a lying sociopathic criminal scumbag, and various other filth, then by goodness, you realize that scumbaggery is everywhere. And it's real fun to expose it to.
Yeah.
Because these people are all like little skittering critters who are walking around like these big fat cockroaches. Like, I remember seeing an episode of Family Guy, and I think the dog was running away with some really disgusting prostitute or whatever, and they went to go hole up in this place. And the guy who's leading them into the hotel, he says, "Watch out, there's some really bad roaches." And then there's 2 7-foot-tall cockroaches with bandanas around their heads, and one of them's holding a knife.
And he says, "Hey, what you coming in after? Say, I'm gonna cut you up so bad that you're gonna wish I hadn't cut you up so bad."
You know, and that's basically what the New World Order is. They're a bunch of giant cockroach gangsters who are just sitting there threatening you all day long, every day, so that you won't bloody come on their territory. And I have to say that when you have a mentality like that, when you are somebody who is a scumbag engaging in quantitative and demonstrable scumbaggery, you do need to have the light of day shone upon you. The danger here that most of us face as truthers is not necessarily from the outside as much as it is the inside, because we deal with all the crap that we go through every day on a daily basis. We don't actually have to deal with the crap that everybody else has to deal with, but because we're truthers and we think all this stuff really matters, and sure enough it does, it becomes pressure on us. Now, is 9/11 being an inside job your responsibility alone to expose? No. And yet some people get really personally offended when somebody refuses to take a flyer or a DVD or something like that, and you yell out and you call them slave scum. Do you think somebody being called slave scum is likely to make that slave scum wake up just a little bit more? It's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So stop being angry, okay? Stop being angry at the people who are also, like you, oppressed and kept down in some way, shape, or form. Everybody's the same boat, you know, and dig this. Something I realized the other day is that when you devote yourself to this cause, truth, freedom, liberty, patriotism, your country, anything of a nature that is more than just you, okay, if you're not the only one that matters to you, if you'd rather sacrifice yourself in the service of others, then it is on you. And you should. Okay? Now what happens is, you'll notice a problem, okay? And it doesn't matter what it is. Everybody finds their own particular problem with their own particular, shall we say, way of dealing with things. And I am of the opinion that if you take a special interest in something, whether it be chemtrails, fluoride, trauma-based mind control, dark occulted mysticism of the Masonic orders and what have you, whichever tickles your pickle, go tickles and study pickle, it up. Yeah. Whatever feathers your leather.
God,
whatever
I
strokes
you,
your
baby.
Jokes. I could go on.
Go ahead. I'm going to shut up.
You're right. But feel free to interject and ejaculate some humor into it. I mean, sorry. Yes. Now, are we capable of taking callers? Because it would be cool to open up the lines. Because I figured out what I was talking about, actually. I'm a counsellor, basically. I've been through a hell of a lot of crap. We've all been through a hell of a lot of crap. And you know what's really easy about going through a hell of a lot of crap is that when you're talking with other people who have also been through a hell of a lot of crap, you realise that you don't have to tiptoe around and walk on eggshells. You can be open, you can be honest, you can talk about things that are deep, some things that are hurtful. And you know what's funny? When you actually open up and you discuss all those things, you allow yourself to cry, you allow yourself to feel vulnerable and all of that kind of stuff around people who really accept you. Man, getting over that stuff is like dropping weight off you. Right, and I feel that this might even, I'd like to see some kind of zany scientific experiment where somebody will go through counselling sessions where they have great big realisations and have emotional weights lifted off them, and weigh them before and after those realisations and see if there's a difference. That'd be interesting, don't you think? Wouldn't that be a strange and interesting thought? If you were literally weighed down by all the bad experiences that you've had in your life, in order to get over them, all you got to do is open up about them. Okay? It's like your heart, okay, here, underneath your rib cage is where all that crap is stored. And when you're talking about it, it's like opening your rib cage and allowing your heart to let all that stuff out. Okay? This is what humor is about. As far as I'm concerned, I'm like a counsellor in the truth movement sense of the word. And I talk to many people from all over the world who've been through all sorts of crap, and I make them laugh. Okay? I make them laugh because it's a bloody good therapy. If you don't believe that, then Patch Adams doesn't exist. Of course, you've never heard of him. All right? Trust me. Monty Python doesn't exist either. Neither does Bill Hicks. No, it never happened. Carlin, no, he's not there, okay? These people who talk about the truth and make you laugh about them and actually brought issues to the forefront that previously society would really not want to talk about because they're extremely uncomfortable, okay? Humor is the only way that you can approach so many horrific subjects. And I feel that as people who are in the know, I don't want to get too arrogant or poncy about the definitions of being in the know, but we all know for a fact 9/11's an inside job, or basically, at the very least, we all understand that things are not as we are told, and things are not as they seem, and there's a lot to work out, and there's a lot we don't know, okay, as opposed to the people who think that they know everything, okay, doctors and what have you. And I say all the time, the person who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing. And the person who thinks that he knows nothing probably knows enough. This is something that I feel people need to be cognizant of and capable of understanding. And I don't know, I've found myself in the middle of a nexus point of really amazing activists, great people, like my listeners and stuff like that. They come around to the house, I go around to their house, we have dinner, you know, we have a few drinks or whatever, just hanging out with each other and just normal, just talking about whatever. And because you're with somebody who you know understands the same reality as you do, okay, you don't have arguments. And all the people that listen to me and actually really are fans of the show are the kind of people who don't take themselves or life. Are we allowed to swear on this broadcast?
For you, I'll make an exception to say yes.
Too fucking seriously.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That's the kind of people that listen to me. The people who don't take themselves or life too fucking seriously. Okay,
what is there in life to be serious about outside of not being serious about being serious?
Seriously, bro?
Seriously.
All right. So we're talking about astrology now, like the star-crossed known as Sirius?
I don't take that seriously either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Assad doesn't take Syria very, 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 very easily either. In fact, it turns out it's quite hard to take Syria seriously. Especially when it's aligned with Sirius. And but I want to be serious for a moment and talk about basically, I've had a lot of experiences. I don't want to sound like an old soul or anything, but lots of old souls do tell me that I am one. So I'll just assume that I am for a moment. I'm going to give some sage advice to people. Quit messing around, okay? Think about this. You wake up in the morning, are you doing what you want to do in your life? Are you eating what you want to eat? Are you wearing what you want to wear? Okay? Think about deeper. Think about the surroundings of you in your room. What are you wearing? What's it made of? What's its country of origin? Is it a New World Order owned company? Is the coffee that you've got in your cup there tainted with milk solids and chemical industrial waste that's now being found in Australian milk? About 10% of it, which is a sure sign that it's probably everywhere. Are you sitting in a chair that's made of polyester, and as it rubs against your skin and your arms, it starts to get follicles and oil toxic derivatives that start to give you cancer in a cumulative effect? Okay? Really start to think. Just understand where you are and what the things around you actually are. Where they come from, what their function is, their origins, all of that. Just being able to do that is rather difficult, even if you're surrounded by simple objects. All of these different understandings of the things around you have been hidden from us because we've been taught not to question. A child will ask, why? Why should I brush my teeth? And the parent will answer in an authoritative tone, because I said so. That's why. A child asks his truth apparent the same question, why should I go brush my teeth? Truth apparent actually answers the question, because you don't want your teeth to get rotten. When you clean them, it keeps them healthy. And that means that your breath is good. That means that your teeth don't get rotten. And it's much better for you. And much better for all the other people around with you who don't have to deal with stinky breath. Okay? And you feel confident that you don't have stinky breath. And you can feel confident to walk up and talk to people. So it actually benefits you in social situations as well as your health. Okay? A full and complete understanding of the ramifications of a simple thing as brushing your teeth can give immense amounts of different lessons. Everything can be expanded upon. Some people don't want to talk about that, you know, like it's not the right time, it's too late at night, there's this reason or the other, I'm too busy, I'm playing a computer game, I'm watching TV, I'm watching a movie, I'm trying to go and get a donut, I'm smoking a cigarette, I'm smoking a joint, I'm taking ecstasy, I'm taking acid, I'm dancing and freaking out to the music, I'm walking, I'm running, I'm doing press-ups, I'm doing... Everybody's distracting themselves in the here and now, like in the physical sense, right? And they don't understand what they're actually doing right up here in the mind. And this is the real crux of the issue. And this is the reason why society's going into disrepair. Because the simple practice of knowing what the frack you are doing, knowing where the frack you are and who you are, those simple base premises of being aware of your surroundings, your inner workings, and their ramifications. Those simple understandings have been stolen from virtually an entire generation. Now people think authority is truth rather than truth is the authority. They think that a collective and a consensus is a fact instead of a perception. Okay? How many people invented the light bulb? Did 7 billion people invent the light bulb? Just the one. Individuality is the most important concept of all time. Self-actualization, self-awareness, self-realization, self-value, self-worth. These are not selfish things, because the self is all you really have. You cannot experience life as somebody else. You can feel their pain, and you can ask them questions, you can gain insight, but you cannot live their life for them. Okay? And which brings the most important concept, you have to live your life for you. Am I satisfied with my day? Or do I feel like crap? Why do I feel like crap? Understand, again, who I am, where I am, and what the frack is going on. When you start to realize that there is a lot of dimensions, it becomes almost mind-boggling. It becomes difficult to comprehend what's actually going on. And instead of getting confused about it, again, break it down. Small little pieces. Every massive, complicated problem that I have ever seen has remarkably simple solutions. I'm going to give you an example. Derivatives. There are currently between 1.4 and 3 quadrillion, that's a billion million. Okay, 1 quadrillion is a billion million dollars. Okay, imagine you had $1 million, and then imagine you had a billion million dollars, and then imagine you had 3 billion million dollars. That's how much money this is. Okay, do you know how all that money got there? They made it up. Quite literally, they said, this is worth this, and I'm going to trade it on this, and it's going to be stacked on that, and it's going to be put up like that, and it's going to be like that. And basically, they expanded from an obfuscation of mathematics more debt than the entire world itself and every single inch of its wealth is actually worth by sheer imagination. So, big complicated problem, right? How do you get rid of more debt than the world is worth? Well, simple imagination, again, holds the answer. You know how they pretended all that stuff existed? And how they're pretending that everybody's in debt? Well, why don't you just pretend that it doesn't exist? It's not there. And suddenly, you realize that it actually doesn't exist. Okay? Regardless of whether or not you're pretending, it actually doesn't exist. That is how most problems are for many of us, particularly truthers, because we're talking about problems that aren't actually our own particular problem to solve. You have to take care of yourself. If you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to protect somebody else? You're in this because you want to change the world for the better. You want to restore liberty, rights, freedom, etc. All of those liberties and rights were earned by people who took responsibility for their own actions, who were capable of being independent, who didn't think the way they were told, who thought about things with referencing facts, looking at both sides of every argument, which incidentally are always wrong, okay? You know how both sides are always wrong? Here's the test. If there was a real debate and the right wing and the left wing argument, and somebody was actually correct, don't you think the argument would be over pretty quickly? They're both wrong. That's why the argument keeps going on. Because the truth is always in the middle, where both sides refuse to go. Never be manipulated by dumb crappers who are arguing the same tosspot old ideas. How could an idea that is hundreds or even thousands of years old be better than what we can come up with today with all the amount of information and technology and all of these things that are available to us? There is no way that any old person with his hand in his breast pockets in a Masonic hidden hand gesture and a beard could come up with something like socialism, which collectivizes and essentially gets rid of individual rights, individual liberties, and sovereignty, and independence from people. The New World Order system is about interdependence, making every single state subsidiary and reliant on supply chains. And this is the same model. Again, simple ideas expanded outwards. It's the same again and again and again. It's how the system works. That's why it works so well. It's called a systemic methodology. Okay? A systemic methodology. The same practice up here like a stack of champagne glasses. If you fill up one glass, the champagne is going to come out of that glass and it's going to pour all the way around its base because all the water will come down the skinny neck and equally distribute around. If you have a stack of champagne glasses, it doesn't matter how much champagne you pour, it's still going to fall down and keep filling up every single glass down the bottom of that champagne glass pyramid, isn't it? That's how a systemic methodology works. The same substance filters down from the top and fills everybody's cup. And do you have any idea how difficult it is to get the liquid of truth into somebody whose cup is already full? That's what they want for us. Full cups, so that we don't have the ability to have anybody pour some truth into that cup of deceit that they've given us all. And it's a celebratory cup of deceit too, isn't it? Because every time that we give into a scam, that we allow jobs to be outsourced, that we allow education cutbacks, or that we allow our personal freedoms to be free from search and seizure or arbitrary surveillance by the state, all these things get violated little bits at a time, never televised. Nobody knows about it. And yet it's still been going on the entire time, whether or not it was legal at the time. Regardless, so why are people worried about it now? It's all been going on in the background. Only now that you're aware of it, are you actually concerned about it? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that very interesting? How something that's been happening the whole time, is now something that you're aware of, and suddenly it's freaking you out. Okay? When you see on television about people, community. Okay. This guy in Community, Chevy Chase, he was giving himself 3 vaccines that were supposed to be for the daycare center. And he goes, "I'll be a living God." Think about the ramifications of that. I don't know what's worse. Somebody taking 3 vaccines, or the fact that those 3 vaccines were meant for 3 innocent children in the daycare center. Huh? Truther thinks about that. Other person thinks, that's funny. Do you understand the difference? We live in a different world now. That's what happens when your worldview changes due to the ingestion of new information. You see things very differently. And the problem with learning about the New World Order, symbolism, scumbaggery, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I think that we have an opportunity here to understand the fear, understand that we're all surrounded by poisons at all times of the day. I have a saying, know the poison and drink it anyway. Okay? Stop worrying. Because you know what's going to kill you faster than that poisonous aspartame? Of course, cut out the aspartame. You know, don't be stupid, of course. There's no such thing as absolutes. But the thing that's most important, really, is just to have a little bit of balance. Okay? And stop worrying about stuff. Because stress will kill you a heck of a lot worse than all these little eclectic crappy things will. It'll actually make you sick. It'll actually make cancer cells grow. All this other stuff has a cumulative effect, and it's many stuff that you can't get away from. You can't escape from it. You're surrounded, you're saturated, okay? You got to deal with it, all right? So just be happy with the things that do go right, okay? If you're going to go around through life only caring about what's going down that's bad, and you're not remembering anything that's good, then you're not going to have a very good and enjoyable life, are we? Are we? Okay? Think about it. You've been given life. Isn't that really awesome? Do you have any idea how much life gets taken away from other people on a consistent basis? We have been given life. It's great. Imagine the possibilities. If somebody told me 4 years ago that instead of being a douchebag smoking flavored cigarettes and hitting telesales lines and making $4,000 in a month or something, to being a broke-ass mofo practically leading the online attack against the New World Order from the New Zealand perspective and talking to all the top people that I'd seen on documentaries and heard on American radio and stuff like that, I don't know. I might have actually said, you know what? That sounds exactly like what I'd do. It's the kind of person I am. I always do exactly what I thought I'd probably do. Because I just make decisions arbitrarily based on what's right, what feels right, what should be done, that kind of thing. And if you ask yourself those questions, you know, does this feel right? Does this feel right? I think it does. Because my thoughts on the control mechanisms don't actually stop those control mechanisms from happening. Okay? Those New World Order scumbags are there the whole time, regardless of what you do. You can help to expose them. You can help to make it more difficult for them, but you cannot do it all by yourself. You really can't. So don't expect too much of yourself. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't worry too much about all of the other stuff that's going on around you. All you can do is all you can do. Okay? Understand that you're human and you do have limits. You cannot burn the candle at both ends. Some people have ridiculously hard and difficult jobs that require a lot of duty and attention and effort and fuel to be incinerated and ingested in some form in order to do what needs to be done. And as long as the job gets done, nobody knows the difference, right? Nobody knows how valuable your job is until you stop doing it and they realize, oh, he's not there anymore. He's not doing it. What's going on? What happened? And they're all questioning, right? So what happened is 4 years ago, I decided I'd take responsibility for covering the other side of the story on all the different fronts of the New World Order's operation. So the health sector, the private sector, the corporates and the government and Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius and the fluoride and the chemtrails and the kidnapping rings that are run by the family courts. You know, there's just a huge. It's a never-ending, I'd probably say, list of operations that are currently in progress, okay, that I have already covered in this country. You can go, and many others as well. If you go to my YouTube channel or my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, Vinny with a Y, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. Just Google Vinny Eastwood. There's only one. That's why it's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And you know how many other people in New Zealand have gone around with the camera to protest, edited them, uploaded them, made DVDs for the activists and things like that, and got on the bullhorn at activist protests and start talking about real truth of stuff instead of mindless chanting and everything like that? Do you know who's been doing that this whole time in New Zealand other than me? Nobody. Nobody. Do you have any idea how ashamed I am that out of 4 million New Zealanders that currently live in this country, nobody else is doing anything like what I by myself have been doing? I do more for the media in this country by myself in a week than they do in a month. I am putting quality information out there, giving quality people quality airtime, giving my insight, not saying that I know everything, But I've been told a lot of things. Some of them may be wrong, but a lot of them are right. And I suppose if you just listen to both sides, you'll eventually work out the truth. If you have some confounding thing called discernment. Okay? Anybody else out there got something called discernment? Have you ever noticed that when legislation or people's thought processes start wrapping around them, they wind up getting their tongues in a twister and they take everything to its perfectly irrational conclusion? It's because they've got no discernment. It's because they've got no common sense. You know, the thing that's funny about common sense is it's no longer common. It is a very rare commodity indeed. And a very valuable commodity, I believe. As valuable as silver or gold, as just a good friend who has some common fracking sense. And the intelligence that it takes to comprehend that although I'm saying something that you may disagree with, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. Okay? I'll never force anybody to do anything they don't want to. Unless, of course, they're about to die and I just have to kick them out of a car or something like that. No, I'm not getting out of the car. I want to be hit by the train. Look, idiot. Whoosh, backside of the head. Crack out of the car. I saved your bloody life. Okay? I used justifiable force to do some good. I didn't do any harm. That's the main principle. You can't do any harm to people or their property. Hands-off approach. It is better to have 100 guilty men go free than to have one innocent man be executed for a crime he did not commit. That is the kind of gentle society that we all should hope to aspire to, where we have a lot of forgiveness and we understand that the system and all of our fellow people have flaws. But I feel, frankly, that we need to accept all of those flaws, come together on the things that we agree upon, and leave those little disagreements for perhaps another time. Maybe the time that we can discuss all those things that we have, those little idiosyncrasies about who's actually in control of the system or who's really to blame or whether or not there's a 2012 shift or anything like that. If we all disagree about those things that may or may not be true and we don't know 100%, then the real problem becomes figuring out how you're going to actually get anything accomplished if you're busy arguing in the meantime. The time to argue is after those people who are about to exterminate all of us are defeated and out of power. Isn't that simple? Okay, think about it. A lot of people beat up on other people in the truth movement. There's a lot of patriot infighting. You can show me a list of 30 top truthers, and I can tell you that I've probably spoken to a lot of them and had background conversations with them, and there's always feuds going on between people in the truth movement all over the place. But you know what they don't do to each other? They don't violate each other by hurting each other physically or damaging their property. They say their opinions, and they keep their opinions to themselves, but they don't sue each other or stuff like that. In the main, it's kept relatively civil as far as civil disagreements can be. About 'cause people get very uppity and offended when they're questioned in the truth movement. Very much so. And I think we have Max Egan, who's from Australia. We'll only have for about 20 minutes till we go off line, right? And Max, just because, you know. And I think that's a good way to basically, you know, live life. Do it, because, you know, why not? What have you got to lose? You think that the world ain't going to be there when you get back? Eh? There's a heck of a lot of fun you can have with people of like mind. And truthers are often feel very isolated and that kind of thing. And, of course, the way to stop being isolated is to just reach out. you really do have to, because nobody's going to help you, okay? Nobody's going to solve your problems in your life. You have to do it. That's why it's called Your Life. You know, I would have thought it was kind of the answer's in the name sort of thing. Like, what did they find in Gold Rush City that made people flock there? Gold? Yes, because the answer's in the name. So when somebody says, how do I solve the problems in my life? Well, my life? Your life. It's your life, mate. It's your life. Just think about it. You got to take some responsibility. We all do. Okay, Max is ready. Let's bring him on up. And here's a question in from the chat room. If you had 10 of the top truthers in the room, what would you say? Yeah, pull him in.
I don't have him on my list.
I've just sent you his contact info into the...
Oh, never mind. I got it.
Yeah. So we'll bring it on. So the question from Andrew 303 in the chat room, if you had 10 of the top truthers in a room, what would you say, do, express, or rant about? Well, I would say probably very little. I would do a lot of listening, and I would express my gratitude. And I would rant about anything that really was important that I felt actually worked in with the free flow conversation. If such a conversation was happening, it might be a lecture, 10 people, who knows?
You got to turn off your video for me.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've turned off the video there, and we should...
We have Max Egan in there.
Yes, we do.
Hi, folks.
G'day, Max.
Hi, Max.
How you going, Vinny? Hey, Wolf.
Yeah.
All right, nice well, to be on. Max, I'd love to see you, mate. And we've only got about maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes left in the show here. And I was just kind of leading off with them, talking about just taking personal responsibility, and when you become a new truther, and you want to become aware, and you want to reach out, and you got to kind of have social contact with other people, and you really need to expand, and you need to be a lot more accepting and open, and things like that, and reject all that negativity and hate that the New World Order tries to instill in us, basically.
Well, you do, and it's everywhere. I mean, that's the way our society is designed, basically. Our society below the surface is actually designed to create a sociopathic civilization, a sociopathic race. People are trained to be nasty to other people, basically. So, you know, you've got to forgive them for what they do, because they know not what they do. They're just doing what they've been trained to do. And really, when you step back and look at the bigger picture, this is what it is. When you understand that we've got a psychopathic society, it's run by psychopaths. And so, of course, their morality permeates all of society. They control the education system, which is really an indoctrination system, which teaches you this false reality is real, teaches you that a sucker's born every minute and you've got to climb over everybody you can to get to the top. And at the end of life, the one with the most wins. So you can't really blame people for being what they are. What you've got to do instead is simply lead by example in what you do. And even when people attack you, you know, treat them the way you would want to be treated in that situation. You know, if you were in a position in life where you're attacking somebody else because you disagree with their belief, what would be a good way to approach you to change your point of view? You know what I mean? That's the way you have to approach.
Well, I likened it to, let's say you're a slave in ancient Egypt or something like that, and I don't know what everybody's theory is about how the pyramids got made. I don't personally think it was done this way, but you know, you're slaving, you're building the pyramids, you're dragging the staff, and you're getting whipped all the time, that kind of thing. And you think, man, it really sucks being a slave. And it's just like today, you know, it really does suck to be a slave. And one guy comes along and he's free, and he's got the ability to help you, or help you escape, or free you, or anything like that. But instead of doing anything to help you, he goes, ah, you're a slave, you know, you're just in that situation because you want to be, and you can change yourself if you want to. And, or he's running by and he's saying, he's so happy that he's not a slave that he finds it really funny that everybody else is still a slave. So instead of helping you out in your day-to-day business and everything like that to try and help you free yourself, he walks by and he looks at you and he points his finger and he goes, ah! You're all slaves. Oh, you'll never know what it's like to be free. You know, that kind of stuff. And that's what a lot of truth has actually turned into, because they get really ticked off with the New World Order system and that kind of stuff. They start to blame the other people who aren't doing anything about it for that problem. And it's not their fault. They're victims of it, just like you are.
You know, everybody's a victim of it. That's the thing. But even when you do that, it's not helping. I mean, that's kind of like ego taking over. You know, I'm awake and you're not, so you're an idiot. You know, and that's not it. I mean, unless you're awake all your life, you know, you were asleep. And it's easy to see why people are asleep, and it's easy to see why people are programmed the way they are. You know, like, all you got to do is step back and look at society. Everybody's programmed in everything they do. The subtext in everything involving our society. All of it. There's all of these underlying messages and subliminal messages and subtext in everything. And it all trains people how to think. It trains them what reality is. It doesn't give them any real information, but it tells them reality functions in a certain way, and they need to behave in a certain way. It gives them all these yardsticks to measure up to, and people live in a complete matrix. And you can't attack the people and say you're a fool because you believe this false reality is real. You've got to show them that it's not, and you've got to show them a better way. And yeah, you've got to do this with respect. I mean, you need these people. We need community. We're all in this together. It's a single consciousness experiencing itself as 7 billion people, ultimately. If you want to look at quantum physics and look at the way reality actually works, this is a whole other show. But you know, when you really look at it, we're all in this together. Everybody's equal. There's no reason for you to be ridiculing others. And if you are ridiculing others because of their predicament and their the fact that they're still asleep, well, then you're really only half awake yourself, you know, because you're missing the point if that's what you're doing. People are... You know,
there's like that, and there's a lot of truthers out there who kind of, they don't actually start doing anything because they want to actually do something perfect to start off with. It's just stupid. They just stop themselves from doing the things that they should be doing.
Well, because they've given themselves yardsticks. Maybe they want to make a video or something, but they think, oh, will it be as good as this other film I saw or whatever? Maybe, you know, what people need to do is change their heart space and apply it to reality around them. That's all they need to do. They don't need to make videos. They don't need to make anything. I mean, there's plenty of videos you can share with people now. There's plenty of stuff out there. There's enough information out there. We've been talking about this for so long now that all the information's already there. What you need to do is start applying this information to yourself. Change your energetic state and apply that to reality around you. Know that you're free. Know that there's a better way. Question authority. Do it in the right way. Do it politely. Do it respectfully. But know who and what you are. That's the key to the whole thing. Knowing that you are man. You are living flesh. All of these rules and all this rubbish that our governments do, none of this is real. You know? Yeah, I mean, yeah, and people are waiting to be saved. They're waiting for someone to come along on a white horse and save them. There's going to be mass arrests. There's going to be this. The ETs are coming. There's a savior going to come. The world's going to change in 2012, and I don't have to do anything about it. I don't have to apply myself to reality. Something is going to happen, and the world is going to change. I'm going to ascend or whatever, and I don't have to lift a finger. All I have to do is sit back and watch. And that's what a lot of people believe. They fail to apply themselves to reality around them and to lead by example in all that they do and to improve reality by their existence in it. That's the one, really, the one rule of life. Just improve reality by your presence in it, you know what I mean? Serve the creation.
Well, and also, there's ways of manipulating other people. I mean, maybe manipulate is not the right word, but you can enhance, detract, or you can help, or you can destroy other people with manipulation. Like, for example, the great Chinese general Sun Tzu, when his troops were in a very hopeless situation, being attacked from all sides, and all of the troops were very tired and they were trying to march home and escape, he burned all their food. He threw out all their water rations. He burned their tents. And he said to them, "There is no way that we are going to get home. You have no choice, and your only way to go see your family is to fight and win." And win they did. You can motivate people with their situations around them. Now think about the New World Order situation. We're surrounded just like that army was. And just like that army too, all of our resources that we're surviving on are all being dried up. The New World Order knows that there's some kind of prophecy about them being overthrown, and they're trying to prevent it by increasing draconian legislation, surveillance, poisons, and putting their stuff everywhere for everybody to be conditioned by. The very process of them trying to avoid that prophecy is actually waking people up and fulfilling the prophecy that they sought to derail.
Well, it is. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But, I mean, what's going on is a soft kill. You know, it's depopulation. That's what's going on all around the planet. And the only remedy to it all is for people to wake up to whom they are. You can't mount a protest, mount a legal challenge, put in a new political candidate or anything like this. It doesn't work. The system's broken. It's completely broken. And what I, even on the last show that I did, that I went to air yesterday, I was talking about the remedy lies in trust. The remedy to the whole situation is for the people of the planet to remember that the relationship that exists between themselves and their government is a trust agreement. We entrust our country to these people for their managerial skills. We pay them a lot of money to manage the country properly for us. They are holding the country and all of the resources of the country and everything in the country in trust for the people. Essentially, because of the nature of government, a government can't own property. It's not real. It's smoke and mirrors. It's just a cloud. You can't go and poke the government, touch the government. The government consists of a whole bunch of people who are public trustees that are holding the country in trust for the people. So all these people have done is that they've created all this legislation, they've created all of this stuff that they're doing, and they get away with it because we don't understand that this is a trust agreement. They're all in breach of trust. We don't have to worry about what the legal parameters are that they construct. We'll get to that later. But for the beginning, let's have a look at what our relationship with these people is. It's a trust agreement. They're in breach of trust. If the people of the country stand up and say, "Hey, listen, guys, you're all in breach of trust because we're really struggling out here. You're enacting legislation we don't like. You're doing all these things that we don't want you to do. And we're not interested in what you've written down on your pieces of paper. We want to address the root core issue here. We want to address the cause of every single problem that we face as a society, because the cause of that problem is the breach of trust that exists between the people and their governments." They get away with
that position. The position of trust that they manipulate is what they call a fiduciary position. Okay, like a lawyer knows more than you do, so you go to him when you've got legal problems because he knows more about law than you. So you trust him, you pay him, and he gives you the result you want. Doctor, same thing. You know nothing about your health, so you go to a doctor, you pay him, you trust him, and you swallow it. Politicians, you don't know nothing about running the country, so you go to him, you pay him, and he takes over those responsibilities. Okay, fiduciary. Now, these people don't actually know the meaning of the word fiduciary anymore. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, the word fiduciary now translates simply and has been shortened in the linguistic context to simply the word douche, because that's what these people are. Okay, no person is accountable because it's an organization. Okay, and because no person's accountable, the people who are supposed to be responsible have no consequences for their scumbaggery.
Well, the way I see it, you know, if any government or any person within government chooses to interfere with my life because I have broken one of their statute regulations and thereby they have chosen to exercise a right of ownership over me, then I'll call them for breach of trust. Because if there's no injured party in my actions and I'm doing something like standing up to prevent a coal seam gas well going in, so therefore I'm defending the water table, which is even under their law, you're not allowed to pollute water, and yet they are allowing coal seam gas mining, which is destroying groundwater. So I'll go and stand up to that, and if I'm in breach of a statute, well, so what? There's no injured party until I get arrested, because once I'm arrested, there's an injured party, me, because of the actions of the government. They're prepared to injure me for a breach of a statute for which there is no injured party. That's breach of trust. A whole lot of it is breach of trust. Every single thing this government's doing is breach of trust. And the Australian Prime Minister even said on air the other day, she was talking to the mining companies, and she said that you mining companies need to understand that you don't own the resources, you're only leasing the rights to the resources or something like that. We've just sold you the rights to the resources, and that we, the government, hold the country and the resources in trust for the sovereign people of the country. She actually said this, right? And to me, this is the government saying, hey, guys, I've sold my soul to the devil. I'm the prime minister. I'm a lawyer. So therefore, I'm part of that system. I'm under contractual obligations that I have to destroy the planet or I'm going to go to jail or something. But you people can fix it because you people need to remember that this is a trust agreement. You're the sovereign people. You're already sovereign. You don't need to claim your sovereignty. You're already sovereign. And that what exists between yourself and myself is a trust agreement. And if you people choose to stand up and call the government for breach of trust, then what can the government do? What can the government do? They have no defense against being called for breach of trust. I mean, look at the state of the planet. Look at the state of the countries. Look at the state of the global situation. Every single bit of it has been the result of governmental breach of trust, the whole lot. Every single government on the planet is guilty of this. The people need to stand up and call them on it. You know, I will. I'm happy to. I'm doing it here on air. I've done it on Sydney Breakfast Radio. I've called Prime Minister Julia Gillard. I've challenged it to a debate on air, live on Sydney Breakfast Radio. Of course, I never heard from her. But all of these governments are in breach of trust. And until people can understand that, you know, that we're all here together. We are all equal. Doesn't matter what people believe. Doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter what they've done. What matters is what we do from this point. And what we need to do is to respect each other, to treat each other as ourselves, treat each other as equal, and call these governments on breach of trust. I mean, we can still have the infrastructure, we can still have society running the way it is, but let's put some honest people in there who are going to operate within this trust that we give these people. Because our present government does not do that. They are all in breach of trust. And the first exhibit I would offer the world to establish this fact is the Earth itself. Have a look at the place. Okay, so that's what I think needs to be done. Put down all the differences. Stop going down rabbit holes. Stop looking for someone to point the finger at, because really the people to point the finger at is us for allowing the governments to do what they do, because ultimately they're just people, just like us. Doesn't matter about their legislation. It only exists on paper. It's not real. The whole thing that we call society is just an idea they came up with, and they taught to everybody that it was real. They taught everyone to believe it was real through the education system. But it's a matrix, and it's not how the world should be run. So that's my answer.
Well, you can see it when you look out your window, and it's right here in this very room. And you can see it when you turn on your television, and you can feel it when you pay your taxes and when you help your landlady carry out her garbage. It is literally everything that you've been born into, for a prison for your mind to turn you into a unit of energy so that people can feed on scumbaggery.
Well, yes, a lot of it's energetic. I mean, they love the control. I mean, like I said, it's a psychopathic system, because it's a system that's been created by psychopaths. And so that's why humanity is so much, it's just cast aside. Humanity is expendable throughout this system, all the way through it. It's all about the economy, managing the economy, making sure the economy keeps growing, which happens at the expense of the earth and the people and the environment and basically everything. Society and the earth itself just basically eats itself to support this fictional economy, which only exists on paper. It's just numbers on computers. It's not real, you know. And we're destroying everything that's real to support this economy. So, yeah, we need to wake up to what's going on.
Okay. And final words, I think we have about maybe a minute or so before we're off today. And Max, thank you for dropping in at such short notice. And I think this is kind of the majority of the time of how we meet is that you just randomly say, oh, Vinny, what are you up to, man? And I'll just be like, well, you know, let's go on here. So why not?
Yeah, well, yeah, surprise, surprise. Quick 20 minutes, mate. Always a pleasure to talk to you, though, Vinny.
Yeah, yeah. It was a quickie. We'll do it again sometime.
My pleasure.
And you can check out Max's website, thecrowhouse.com, and he has a spectacular YouTube channel with several very good documentaries. In fact, one of the most highly followed YouTube channels in Australia, with tens of thousands of people. Like, Max is a huge figure in the Australian truth movement, and nobody knows what he looks like. He's not the face, ladies and gentlemen. Max is the voice of reason for a lovely, lovely country, Australia. Max, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Dave Corso, the man behind the board, fueled on tobacco. And we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and WolfSpiritRadio.com.
Vinny, thank you again for being here. It has been a delight and a pleasure listening to you, and I love how you express things.
I love how I express things, too.
All right, folks. We're going to have a United We Wrap Up roundtable if you'd like to stick around, Vinny.
Unfortunately, I have a previously unconfirmed obligation to go to my sister's place for a nice New Zealand lamb roast dinner.
Ooh, that sounds good. Eat a bite for me, if you would.
I'll save a bite for your dogs, mate.
Thank you. Until next time.
I'll, you know what I'll do? I'll email a slice to you.
There you go.
So the dog can lick it off the screen.
Until next time, Vinny, thanks a lot.